Via Hemp, let's talk about it. Via Hemp offers THC and non-THC craft cannabis experiences. Now, I love a non-THC option when it comes to your overall wellness. I'm talking sleep aid, maybe anxiety if you have that. Well, that's where Via comes into play. And did you know even a non-THC option, if you're doing fertility or IVF, can be helpful? Look into that. Well, Via is incredible. You got to be 21 plus. You can get 15% off with my exclusive code TSFS when you go to viahemp, viahemp.com. They have all kinds of lifestyle products. And like I said, the best part is with the THC or without, so you don't have the buzzy. Don't you love my cannabis lingo? I mean, the buzzy. Anyway, yeah, I'm unique. What can I say? Look, order now. You're going to love Via Hemp. Use the code TSFS to receive 15% off and a one-time free sample of their award-winning gummies, 21 plus. That's viahemp.com and use the code TSFS at checkout. Support the show. Tell them I sent you and enhance your everyday life with Via Hemp. Summer is almost here. Don't you want to go to the beach with thicker, gorgeous, beautiful locks? And everyone goes, hey, I love your hair. And you go, Nutrafol, baby. You know, something along that lines. Well, take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering my listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and you enter the promo code TSFS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. I recommend it. I've been taking Nutrafol for years. It's how I got my hair back thicker and not falling out in chunks after I had KJ. Now it's your turn. Nutrafol has been on with me for years, and that's because you all continue to buy, and it really works. I love it. Now it's your turn to love it too. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com with the promo code TSFS. That's Nutrafol.com with the promo code TSFS. Do you enjoy playing relaxing puzzle games on your phone? I do. It's even better when they're free and you can collect prizes along the way. Welcome to Two Dots. I have been playing Two Dots to relax my mind, unwind, and there's something very methodical about it. The premise of the game is you connect dots horizontally, vertically, but never diagonally. And you head from level to level. And as I mentioned, you do collect points along the way if you are into that. More than 5,000 puzzles to keep you engaged and relaxed after a very long day. Uniquely designed challenges, game modes, and levels to choose from based on what adventure you are into. And by the way, you can download it for free right now on your Android phone or iOS. I also like the color template of this game. It's giving me very like pastel-y vibes. So yeah, I think you're going to enjoy it too. If you are ready to kick back and unwind, download Two Dots for free on Android and iOS and start connecting. Excited about this guy. Dr. Applin is here from MyOptimalBody.com. It is the very first time that I have ever officially partnered with a health long-term weight loss doctor that has also a focus on mindfulness. Dr. A, I mean, look, when you reached out to me, I was like, God, I've never done this, but I've always been looking for someone that, you know, didn't have this quick diet. Because over the years in radio, I swear, you know, my co-hosts, they advertised everything, the cookie diet and nothing, no, you know, no shade. It takes a lot of time to figure out what's really going on in our food system with our own bodies, which is what I did about a decade ago with mindful eating and lost 60 pounds and have kept it off ever since. So I loved your patience doing my due diligence. I want everyone who has and is struggling with their weight. I started my very first diet when I was 12 years old to reach out to myoptimalbody.com. Dr. Applin mentioned the Sarah Fraser show. You're going to get a discount and the 30-day gut reset. You are I don't even have words for how much I love telling my audience about you because you really get it in a way that is not just like, oh, let's just give you Ozempic or let's just give you this, you know, just drink two shakes a day and then a meal at night. It's like, no, there's so much more to that. Well, isn't there?
I totally get it. I mean, there's a lot of allure to the quick fix, not just in weight, but in most things in life. There's this like draw. Like, how do I do this as simply, as easy, as quickly as possible? You know, when it comes to weight, not just weight, but I relate this to a lot of goals and things that people strive for in life. It's kind of like the difference between building a business and setting yourself up for life or winning the lottery. So winning the lottery, that's quick, it's easy, but most people are broke within a few years of winning the lottery.
And most people will never win the lottery, right? But actually, the reality is we all can be millionaires. We all can find that healthy set weight and stay there if we do it the right way. That's actually the magic, right? But it takes a little bit more work.
Well, you know, being healthy is hard, but being unhealthy is hard. You know, I'm going to totally butcher this because I don't remember who exactly said this first, but I love this quote. It's choose your hard. It's going to be hard regardless. Yeah. Knee pain sucks. Digestive problems suck. Diabetes sucks. High blood pressure sucks. There is not a lot of good things to say about those conditions. So it's hard having those problems. So I believe personally for me and for my clients, the challenges that come with, you know, solving the root cause of the problem, actually getting to that point of better health far outweighs, you know, I guess ease and comfort people might want from just doing things the way that they're used to.
All right. Talk to me about why we're so overweight, more overweight than ever. 50, heading to 60% of Americans are classified to some degree, maybe as obese or diabetic or have IBS, gut issues. Why?
I love this question. You know, I get asked this a lot, and I think there's two things at play here. First, we have a food industry that is stripping our food of all of its nutrients and then packing it full of junk. Preservatives, added sugars, all these things. They literally, people in lab coats chemically design food to make it as addictive as possible. You know, what's that slogan? Once you pop, you can't stop. They really want that to be true for people. Now, it's only true in foods that are devoid of nutrients because your body has internal mechanisms. GLP-1, this hormone that's, you know, activated by Ozempic, is one of them. We have natural stopping points where our body says, whoa, I'm good. I don't need any more. But if your food has been chemically altered, designed to push past those barriers and make you not feel full, even though your belly is empty, even though your body has enough reserves, then people, unfortunately, they keep eating. So that is for sure one reason. I think the other reason is, you know, we have a pharmaceutical industry that is creating these designer drugs that promise the quick fix. And again, I understand the allure to that, but the drugs don't actually solve the problem. The problem with people in weight, and maybe you can relate to this, Sarah, it's not that people are just walking around too hungry all the time. That's not the problem. And that's what the drugs address. They address hunger. And so I think weight gain is a lot more complicated. Our emotions are involved.
Yes.
Our hormones are involved. Inflammation and toxins matter. Our age matters. Our digestion matters. Our hydration matters. Our stress levels matter. How well we sleep matters. Food quality matters. How much we move our body matters. And the medications don't address any of those factors, which is to the point why almost everybody regains the weight after coming off of them.
That's what I tell people, because I am anti-Ozempic. I'm anti-diets. I've done Weight Watchers, Kashigo Lean, Atkins. I lost, you know, 20 pounds, 30 pounds, would gain it all back and more. And of course, you know, if you look at the research, you already know this, that diets, 95% of people within 5 years of going off a diet gain all the weight back. It's why if you Google the biggest losers, they, almost all of them have gained all the weight back and more. What's your take, by the way, on Ozempic? What do you think? You started to talk about it. So talk to me, because I think we are going to see in 5 years, I think we're going to see one of the biggest, mental health disasters ever from this drug, because they're already saying women are showing more depression, suicidal thoughts on these drugs. They're going to stop working. Now, of course, they're going to try to develop other things that you can move to. But you're telling me someone that lost 50, 60 pounds is going to be able to stay on this shot for life once a week?
That's
what do you think?
That's the confusing part for me as well, Sarah, is that, you know, even the drug manufacturers are coming out saying like, yeah, this is basically a forever drug. This is not meant to be come off of. And they even warn, like, there might be serious side effects when you come off the medication. And so I think that maybe there's like a disconnect in who's creating the drug and who's actually prescribing the drugs, because I don't think any doctor is going into it thinking that, like, oh, I'm going to put my patient on Wegovy for the rest of their lives, knowing that, you know, the longer someone's on it, the higher their risk factors are to developing one of the more serious complications. I mean, the complication levels vary greatly. I mean, yeah. Almost everybody experiences like some nausea, some vomiting. I don't know if you've ever looked into these. There's these massive Ozempic support groups online. And what you'll see is just person after person saying, I throw up 2 to 3 times the week after I take the injection, but it's worth it, right? And it's almost with like a question mark. Is it worth it? I don't know the answer to that. I guess everyone has to figure that out for themselves. But to your point, long term, I don't think we really know what the impact is going to be. My worry is that this is going to be the next fen-phen where it's like, oh, it's actually making holes in people's hearts, or in this case, the stomach or something like that. We already know there's an increased risk of cancer long term when taking the medication. We know that there's an increased risk of gastric paralysis where the stomach just stops working. So yeah, there's already a lot of nasty things coming out. There's some class action lawsuits already. And this is like fairly early on in the context of a drug like this coming out. But I mean, it's been so widespread and quickly adopted specifically by Americans. I think it's like, you know, the drug's manufactured in Europe, but I think 2/3 of users are here in the US.
Yeah. And they're even, you know, they're trying to, the pharmaceutical companies and doctors that of course work with these pharmaceutical companies are saying, well, you know, it could be safe for kids, you know, I think that's the scariest part, right? Is you're going to start to see 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds. And to me, I think like Oprah just did that Ozempic special. Did you watch that on
ABC?
No,
I didn't see it.
Well, anyway, they had a young girl. She was 16, 17. And what drives me insane about the documentary or the special is they never once ask people, and I want to hear because you've seen thousands of patients. They never once ask her about her food beliefs, like what they eat every day in their house. Like, never once. They're just like, you have a disease, obesity, and you've tried things, but really the only way you can control it is with this shot. And I'm like, how is it on this special that we haven't talked? Because my guess is, but I want to hear from you because you know the mental part of it. My guess is in that household, right, they probably have no idea about nutrition. Like, they don't realize that anything processed is filled with shit that just keeps us addicted. Sugar, they've done research, is as addicting as cocaine.
I just saw that. That came out recently, like within the last year. So certainly education or lack of education in nutrition is a big part of it. And there's this passing down of habits between generations. And then you get this whole segment of people who blame it on genetics. It's like, well, look at my mom. She's overweight. Well, look at my grandma. She's overweight. It's like, well, do genetics play a role? Certainly. Right. They estimate about 10 to 15% of weight is related to genetics, but the rest is lifestyle and behavior. And so if you're adopting the behaviors of your parents and they had those behaviors, then your outcomes are going to be similar. And unfortunately, that's what we're seeing in these kids. I mean, the control of food in the household starts with the parents, but if they they're not doing anything nefarious. They want the best for their kid. But if they don't even know what a healthy meal looks like, you know, I think we're put in a pretty bad space. And I'm just going to add to that, I think maybe a broader issue, which is that nutrition isn't trained in most medical schools. And when it is, there's very minimal nutrition training. And so, you know, I always say that we don't really have a healthcare system. We have a sick care system. Like, if you have a disease, there's a drug for that, or there's a surgery for that, without any real focus on true prevention or how to heal the body naturally, these things that have been done for tens of thousands of years. And I had my own personal experience with it. I had to go to a cardiologist maybe a year and a half ago. I was getting some heart palpitations. turned out to be nothing other than stress. You know, I went through all the tests and everything. And so we're chatting, you know, about what I do with nutrition, helping people lose weight naturally and everything. And this was a John Hopkins trained cardiologist. He's like, man, I really wish we got taught that in medical school. We don't. So it's a good thing we have people like you out there. And I had two thoughts on that. And my first thought was, well, at least he has like the insight to acknowledge that maybe there's a gap in the education and what they're even able to offer their patients because of lack of their own knowledge and understanding. But my immediate next thought was like, oh my God, like you can take it upon yourself. There's continued education classes out there on nutrition. If you know that there's a gap in your knowledge, you have the ability to fill it. And I think too many doctors out there have just become too complacent with the medication for everything model. And medications in most cases, you know, few exceptions, obviously antibiotics, those types of things, they treat the symptom, not the real cause.
Correct. I feel like Western medicine is reactive, right? To your point, you go there when you are having something major, a baby, you know, heart palpitations. Like those are the things where doctors, I think, in our medical world shines. Like they can save our lives like never before, you know?
For sure.
100 years ago, to your point, anything could have killed you, right? An infection, you know? I mean, now if you get there soon, there's so many things they can do. Cancers, you know? But I'm curious, you've seen, as I mentioned, thousands of patients over the years. How should we be eating? What are things that people don't know about nutrition?
Well, you know, this may sound a little basic, Sarah, but, you know, we kind of have a slogan on the shirts we give out to our staff. It just says, eat real food. And that, I don't mean to sound controversial with that, but what we're really talking about is just stay away from ultra processed foods, because ultra processed foods, that's what we're talking about. It's been stripped of all of its nutritious value. And so if you're eating foods that are high in caloric load, but low in nutrition, the only outcome is weight gain. Your body is just being filled with processed carbs that get converted to sugars, and then insulin becomes resistant and we start to store fat in the midsection. I mean, it's literally a domino effect, but it all starts with what we're eating on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, at a very basic level, if you're eating real meats, real vegetables, real fruits, avoiding the ultra processed things, anybody would be healthier. You can be skinny and still be unhealthy from a nutritious aspect, right? So, you know, I kind of separate those things, because if we put a focus on health first with our clients, they will lose weight. We don't necessarily have to hyper-focus, say like, oh, we're going to do this, and this to lose weight. It's like, well, let's focus on some very basic foundational principles for helping your body work at its optimal level. And when it's working optimally, you will lose weight, because carrying around extra weight is very inefficient. And our bodies are designed for efficiency. So if you fix the pathways that are responsible for essentially regulating fat metabolism, then weight loss is just going to be the natural byproduct of that.
You say when a lot of people come to see you, they have some sort of gut issue. What do you mean by that? Like what happens in the gut when we eat processed foods all the time? We're magnesium deficient, vitamin D. What happens?
Well, you know, again, at a basic level, if you're not pooping, you can't lose weight, which seems really basic, but constipation is a big problem.
Really?
Absolutely. Because if you're not eliminating properly, number one, you know, stool has mass to it too. That'll cause some stalls in weight, but also it is our body's waste product. So you're holding on to all of that extra toxic load. Toxins in your body, they're free radicals. They bounce around and do cellular damage. And the way our body protects itself from those free radicals is by trapping them inside of fat cells. Once they're inside of the fat cells, it gets more and more challenging for your body to break down that fat. So just, not going to the bathroom properly can unfortunately stall weight loss progress for a lot of people. So that's one side of it. With the ultra processed foods, besides constipation, they cause inflammation in the gut lining, specifically the sugars. It can lead to something called leaky gut syndrome, because it essentially causes these micro tears in the gut lining. Macromolecules get through our digestive tissue, which it's not supposed to. That can cause internal inflammation in the body. That can cause a whole host of other issues. Also, ultra-processed foods decrease microbiome diversity in the gut. And I could probably spend a whole hour talking just on microbiome diversity, but you know, I'll just kind of give the highlights
there.
Yeah,
tell me, because I don't think I'm even familiar with microbiome. What does it say it again?
So my microbiome, those are the good bacteria that are in your gut that help you digest.
Okay.
Diversity is the amount of different types of those bacteria that are in your gut. And all of the leading research right now is showing that gut microbiome diversity, having positive diversity, is positively correlated to a decrease in almost every chronic condition. I mean, we're talking like crazy stuff, autoimmune disorders, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's, MS, all of them are now being linked to having poor gut microbiome diversity. So again, another pretty simple way to improve someone's overall health status is to help the body repair the intestinal lining and then increase gut microbiome diversity. I have one more point on the diversity though.
Yeah, please. It's so fascinating, right? It's so fascinating because this is my frustration with people that just hop on Ozempic. It's like, to your point, you're just not treating the root cause. Like, it's just such a, I don't know, Band-Aid, I think, but that's my own bias. Anyway.
Okay, I'm gonna give two more points on it then, because, you know, I think microbiome is like one of the most fascinating fields out there right now. And just like seeing the correlations between people who are in good health and the diversity of their gut microbiome versus people that are in poor health. There's I'll say like a newer class of probiotics called psychobiotics. And so we have a direct connection between our gut and our brain. It's through our vagus nerve. So we call it the gut-brain connection. It's a literal nervous system tissue connection. So if you ever feel like kind of like jittery in the gut when you're mentally stressed, that's why. I mean, there is a nerve that runs between our brain and our gut. So there's a new class of probiotics called psychobiotics, because certain probiotics are actually shown to directly improve people's mood, depression, anxiety, their ability to handle stress, all these types of things. So maybe not surprisingly, Sarah, a lot of people that have really bad digestion also suffer from anxiety. They also suffer from depression, these other types of things. So really cool emerging stuff out there with these psychobiotics, probiotics that actually can help people feel better from a mental standpoint. But taking probiotics without getting enough of the food that probiotics eat doesn't do you much good either. So what do probiotics eat? They eat fiber. And what is primarily stripped from our food in these ultra processed foods? It's fiber. Because basically all carbohydrates in nature are paired with fiber. So when you're just eating stuff as God intended, right? Straight out of the ground, those things are pretty much always paired together. And what the fiber does is it slows digestion. It helps to regulate blood sugar levels.
Yep.
And it can reduce glucagon, which is the hormone responsible for increasing blood sugar levels. So those three things that I just listed off, guess what Ozempic does?
Probably suppresses all those.
Well, it has the exact same impact.
Oh.
And so I look at these things like, okay, we have this designer drug, people are injecting it in their butt, they're vomiting, they're getting nauseous, all these things. It comes with all these really bad side effects. You know, fiber's not sexy, but it does basically the same thing. And you can get it from food that you get from any grocery store. So, and they come with essentially no risk. Increased fiber has been shown to reduce cholesterol, regulate blood sugar levels, regulate blood pressure, help with insulin resistance, all these things. And again, fiber is not sexy, but if you're looking for the, I'll say like lowest cost, lowest effort way of actually doing these same things that Ozempic is doing, I think fiber is a really good place to start.
I got to go back and ask you, how often are we supposed to poop? Like I'm always curious about poop.
Once to twice a day is typically normal. Wow. Up to three times is still okay. As long as it's healthy, there's no like real limit to it. Too many people that we speak to, I mean, they're going like once every 3 days, once every 4 days. I mean, that's usually from lack of fiber. Fiber is the number one thing that gets us going at a healthy pace. But another thing kind of correlated to that, even if someone's getting enough fiber, but they're dehydrated, that will also lead to constipation. So fiber plus hydration equals adequate bowel movements.
God, they must feel so like bloated and like crap. If you poop once every 3 days, like, oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. If you're feeling a lot of tightness in the stomach all the time, that constant bloat and everything, yeah, there's a good chance that it's coming from constipation. Sure.
One of the things that, and I had this for a long time, is one of the things I hear from my friends that are using Ozempic or have tried different things is they can never turn off the food noise. They can never, and I used to have this too. It's like you would eat breakfast and then you were just thinking about lunch or thinking about a snack or thinking about, I can't, you know, I'm going to work. I can't eat the cupcakes at Fox 5. Like I can't, you know, and I remember this. I was consumed with counting calories when I was going to exercise. If I didn't exercise for an hour, then screw it. I blew my diet. And that's one of the hardest things I hear from my friends is they can't turn off beating themselves up or thinking about their next meal. I got to imagine you've seen a lot of clients that have the same thing.
That's a great question. So there's primarily two hormones that can turn off the hunger sensation. We have the GLP-1 that's in our stomach and it reacts to food being in our stomach. So that's kind of like the short-term feeling of satiation, not wanting to eat anymore, right? That's actually why the drugs work. It makes your stomach feel full even if the stomach is empty. It's why it causes the side effects, the nausea, vomiting, because imagine if you overate, how are you going to feel? So if you have too much of that GLP-1, you're going to feel the nausea, have that potential to vomit. There's another hormone called leptin. Leptin is produced inside of your fat cells and it's received in the hypothalamus in your brain. So leptin is for the long-term feeling of satiation, because essentially what it does is, because it's produced by your fat cells, the more fat cells you have, the more it produces. And it tells your brain like, hey, we're good. We have enough energy reserved right now. You don't have to eat anymore. With long-standing weight gain, you can become leptin resistant. Just like a diabetic becomes insulin resistant, someone who's been carrying around weight for a long time, because their body's overproducing leptin, they become leptin resistant. So now this long-term feeling of satiation isn't there. This same hormone is involved in cravings, specifically for sugars and carbs. And it's also a trigger for your body to burn off extra fat. So this is like the triple whammy there. If leptin has become resistant, cravings for sugars and carbs are higher, hunger increases, and your body is unable to burn off extra fat. And you pair that with something like insulin resistance, where your body is storing more fat. Just imagine that scenario. If the body's storing more fat and then it's unable to burn it back off, that's when weight really starts to run away from people.
And I think what people don't realize is when you start eating whole foods, fruits, vegetables, like organic meats, nuts, you know, the thing is it does feed the nutrients of your body. So then you do naturally begin to become less hungry and you crave the junk less. That's the wild part, right?
It's so true. And, you know, your people, they're like, oh my gosh, I just crave sweets all the time.
Right.
And in their mind, because it's been going on for so long, it feels like this big mountain to climb to get over it. And my philosophy is like, let's not try and mentally get past that craving, because then you're relying on your willpower and we're always going to give in to willpower eventually. If we can help stimulate the connection of these hormones in the brain that mute that craving sensation, it makes it a heck of a lot easier. Because to the point, once you're eating the whole foods, once you're eating the fruits, the vegetables, the good protein sources, the good fat sources, your body naturally starts to burn more fat. And when you're burning fat, we don't crave sugars and carbs. Sugar and carb cravings, essentially, they're rooted in the fact that when your body's not burning fat, it's burning sugar. And we get depleted of sugars really quickly. And so if we get depleted of sugars and we're not burning fat, what do you think the body's going to naturally crave? It wants its next quick fix of energy. It wants that quick burst. The unfortunate part about it is it's short-lived, because these sugary foods, they're high in calorie, low in nutrient value. So you eat them, you get that quick fix, you get a dopamine rush to the brain, and then bam, an hour, 2 hours later, you're hungry again.
That was such an eye-opener for me. When I could consciously eat a donut and then, you know, I felt great for 20 minutes and then an hour later I felt like shit. And I was like, God, I just ate this donut. Like that was going to be my treat for the day. But why am I now looking for a cookie? Why do I want? And once I began to realize, okay, Sarah, this is a chemical reaction that's happening in your body. You got to kind of ride this out, eat a piece of fruit, start, you know, changing the thought pattern in your head. Mm-hmm. Then it was like, now I can look at a donut and have like two little bites of it. Cause I know if I eat the whole thing, I'm going to have this great sugar high and then this crash. And 2 or 3 hours later, I'm going to want another sweet because it just doesn't nutrient, like, you know, help with any nutrients in your body. It just messes with you.
You hit a really important keyword, which is like you'd reward yourself with the donut. And I think this is a big problem when folks are out there, they're doing these fad diets, they might lose 20, 25, 30 pounds, and then they quote unquote reward themselves by eating the junk. And it's like, oh, you just did so much work, so much effort and energy to get it off, to then reward yourself by beating your body up again. So that's where the change in mindset has to come from. The reward shouldn't be something that undoes all the work that we put in.
Right.
And trust me, I'm not sitting here saying that like you can't ever eat donuts or pizza or pastas or breads or pastries or all those types of things. For sure, you can eat those things. Just not really while you're trying to lose weight. We have to like mentally separate the goals. Like, okay, goal one is to lose the weight. Goal two is to keep the weight off indefinitely. And what our body requires in order to lose weight is different than what our body requires to keep weight off. Have you ever heard of this concept, reverse dieting?
No.
So this is really big in the fitness world because you'll see these fitness buffs, they might have a competition or something like that. They need to cut weight. So they take like really drastic measures to cut weight.
Okay.
But then they want to go back to eating the pizzas, pastas, breads, all those types of things. They don't want the weight to go up. And so reverse dieting, it essentially just means like, how do you slowly integrate those things back into your diet, but do it in a smart, strategic sort of way so it doesn't cause people to go right back to those old habits and cause the weight to come back up again? So that's a pathway to maintenance because nobody's going to avoid pastries, pastas, sweets the rest of their life. It's not possible.
Never, right.
We're just like inundated with them. That shouldn't be the expectation. Perfection should not be the goal because that's a losing battle. But being conscious about the things you're putting in your body and knowing like, okay, I'm having this now, but guess what? Tomorrow I'm not. I think that's the key. Too many people, they say, oh, well, you know, I messed up yesterday, so screw it. I'm going
to
mess up today too.
And
a day becomes a week becomes a month becomes a year. 5 years later, like, oh my gosh, how did I get here? It all started with that micro pattern that started just 1 or 2 days where they got to the point where they're like, F it. I'm just going to let it go again.
Well, the thing that I really believe so strongly and why I want people and why I wanted to partner with you and people to see you is like they don't even realize how good they can feel. When your gut is healthy, when you are pooping, like you said, once or twice a day, when you are eating – I've even started doing this again, just like half my plate is vegetables. Like I heard it for years, right? But then when I started doing it, I was like, God, what a game changer. You're so much less hungry. Like you're so full. If you eat, you know, two cups of broccoli every day, it's like amazing how much that fills you up and you actually feel good. Like I'm mentally sharper. I'm physically sharper. I have so much more energy for my son. That's what excites me about you is I don't think people even realize how great they can feel, you know, on once you nutrientize, you know, really get your nutrients back.
To the point, I think one of the biggest misconceptions out there is that you have to starve yourself to lose weight. And
right.
It is exactly the opposite. You feed your body to lose weight. You give it the right nutrients. I saw this really cool graphic and I can't take credit for it. I wish I'd put something together this cool, but it was essentially side by side, a McDonald's meal and the number of calories in it versus the exact same number of calories from lean meats, vegetables, and fruits. And it's literally an entire table worth of food versus what's just in this like tiny box from McDonald's. You can eat to your heart's content. You can eat all the time and feel full all the time as long as you're filling your body with nutrients. You don't have to be hungry to lose weight. So it's one thing I hope to reshape in people's minds is that starving yourself to losing weight is not a sustainable pathway. It can work in the short term, but it totally destroys your metabolism. You lose a ton of muscle mass when you do it that way. But when you do it the right way, you preserve your muscle mass, you're burning fat, and now you can actually create something that you can continue on with for the rest of your life because you don't feel like you're quote unquote on a diet.
Where are you at and how do you treat patients when it comes to like what's going on in their lives and food? And what I mean by that is when I found my mindful eating therapist a decade ago, I was in a job that was completely toxic. You know, I worked with a radio co-host that unfortunately had a lot of mental health issues that I didn't recognize at the time. And so one day you came in and he was throwing keys at your head. And the next it was like we were best friends, you know.
Sure.
Prior to that, I'd lost my dad in high school, never went to therapy. We never, you know, we addressed it for a week, moved on. And that also spiraled me into eating disorders and, you know, binge eating. And then the binge eating heightened in this really stressful job. I feel, but you're a doctor and expert. If I spend 3 or 4 hours with my friends that are on Ozempic, right, that have 30, 40 pounds to lose, within an hour or two, you can almost, if you really ask them what's going on in their lives, you can almost begin to identify why they eat the way they eat, what they believe about themselves, what the stress is. A lot of them are in marriages they're not really happy about, or they're lonely and they don't want to address that. Okay, in your program, do you get into that? Do you believe that that's a big component of why we're heavier than ever as a society?
Oh, I absolutely think that trauma is a huge driver for emotional eating patterns. I mean, if we just break it down to the physiology, why do we turn towards the comfort foods? It's because it activates our dopamine receptors in our brain. So if we feel like shit, we feel a little bit better. It's for a short period of time. And for a lot of people who've been through traumatic events, experiences in their lives, it's like, well, this is one thing I can control, right? And so it's about having control and feeling this short-term sense of happiness. It's filling a need that maybe isn't being filled elsewhere. You know, I'll always tell my clients, I can't take away your stress, but I can certainly help manage stress. Stress has a massive impact on both our behaviors and our body chemistry. So when we're stressed, we're more prone to emotional eating, stress eating, boredom eating, all these other things. But it also causes a rise in cortisol. Cortisol is our stress hormone. Mm. And when cortisol is high, guess where your body naturally stores fat?
Your belly,
midsection, belly, midsection. Back, hips, thighs, kind of that midgirdle. We don't even know why that happened. We just know that it does. And so stress management, the regulation of stress, is a huge component to being successful because we're all going to be stressed. You can't eliminate stress from your life.
Right.
But can we create better habits, better strategies for how to manage stress? For sure. I mean, even something as simple as drinking a glass of water.
Yeah.
When you're feeling like that tension, that stress has been shown to have a massive impact in breaking that mental pattern where somebody might have initially turned like, oh my gosh, I'm just going to go eat a bag of chips because I'm feeling like crap. Going outside for 5 minutes, taking some deep breaths, anything you can do to interrupt that pattern. So everyone has different triggers. Right.
Yes.
So what we can help with is how do we identify those triggers and how do we create strategies for when those triggers arise?
What are foods that we think are healthy but are not? Because that I also had to learn. Right. I thought, oh, you know, I'll eat a protein bar for lunch and an apple, you know, and then it's like once I kind of learned more about nutrition, I'm like, eat an actual whole food salad. That's going to stay. But, you know, you think some of these, even some yogurts, right, you think are healthy, even some dairy products. So what are foods that people think are healthy that come to see you every day and you're like, not really, actually?
I'm probably going to get a lot of hate for this, but I think whole wheat would be the top of my list. Because it's still a processed carb, which means it still immediately converts into sugar once it's digested. Now, it's going to come with some fiber in it, so that slightly helps offset it compared to just ultra processed white bread. But, you know, The three things that I think are the biggest problems for people are gluten, dairy, and sugar. And that doesn't mean you have to be like allergic to gluten. Most people don't have celiac disease. You can still have a sensitivity to gluten because we all have a sensitivity to gluten. And what do I mean by that? I mean, gluten is a pro-inflammatory protein in the human body. When you eat gluten, when I eat gluten, when anybody eats gluten, it is a pro-inflammatory protein. It will cause a rise in inflammation. And inflammation, besides being tied to every single chronic condition that's ever existed, it causes fat accumulation in the areas of inflammation. So the second would be dairy because of another protein called casein. Casein is another pro-inflammatory protein. So even if you do fine with lactose, there's other things in dairy. That's why, you know, cultured foods like cottage cheese are better. Cultured cheeses are better because there's less of that in it. A2 milk tends to be better. Goat milk is better because they're lower or completely free of that protein. And then sugar is, it's an essential thing. Our body requires sugar to just survive. We need sugar to survive. It's all the extra sugar. It's the extra sugar that does all the damage and causes the rise in inflammation, which again is just linked to basically every chronic condition that exists in humans.
Which sugar is in everything, your yogurts, your pasta sauces, your salsa, your, you know, even things you don't hear like.
Oh, they sneak it into everything. It's shocking. Well, right. to the point, Sarah, most people don't know how to read a food label.
Yeah.
So if there's anything that I would encourage your listeners to do is just like go online and Google like how to properly evaluate a food label. There's people that could teach it way better than I do. We certainly work with our clients on that. Like, what are the 1,000 different names for sugar that they try and sneak into products to just kind of like slide it under the radar so people don't realize that they're just consuming a bunch of sugar?
Unbelievable. I know. If we just you became more aware of that, that is so life-changing, you know. But it's these things are hard. They take time, to your point. But I can't even agree with you enough. Dairy has just, oh my God, over the years has gotten worse and worse for me. I used to love like just eating handfuls of shredded cheese. And it's like, oh my God, now my stomach and digestion and oh, it's so bad. So because I think they add so many additives to your cheese. You know, it's not, to your point, it's not like you're eating fresh homemade goat cheese anymore. I mean, So it's got to have a long shelf life.
Well, also like our digestive enzymes reduce as we age. So our body requires enzymes to break down our foods. And I think the statistic is something like by the time we're 50, we produce half of what we did when we're in our mid 20s. And so if we're not breaking down our food properly, of course, it's going to be harder on our digestive system. You'd asked me before what my thoughts are on like long-term supplementation.
Yeah. Tell me.
For most things, like I don't think long-term supplementation is really necessary, but there are certain things that just happen naturally as we age, and a reduction in digestive enzymes is one of them. You can't get that just from your diet. We're living longer, even though we're living sicker, we're living longer than we ever have in human history. And so we're going to see a natural decline in these things. Though that's a prime example of something that it's like, yeah, if you have some digestive discomfort, for sure, digestive enzymes are a very cheap and easy way to address those types of issues. A lot of cases of what people consider acid reflux are actually just cases where they don't have enough digestive enzymes to break down the food in the stomach fast enough. So it starts to ferment and the acid, you know, regurgitates up into the esophagus, and our esophageal lining isn't equipped to handle the acidity from the stomach. And so then they start to get like throat discomfort, all these types of things, when it actually has nothing to do with the stomach acid and everything to do with the enzymes that are supposed to be breaking down the food.
Wait, when we come to see you, is digestive enzymes a supplement, or do you have to eat a certain food? Like I guess you look at all these things, right? When we see you, like, how do we get more digestive enzymes? How ironic. I love this. Got a new podcast for you to listen to. Yes, I do. It's the Dr. John Delaney Show. Schman and I were actually playing a clip from Dr. John's podcast because he was doing the topic of Are youth travel sports ruining families? Well, Dr. John Delaney has over 20 years of sitting with families and dealing with hurting people and mental health issues. He has a PhD in counseling. Delaney walks alongside real people as they navigate tough decisions. And this is actually something that I really enjoy about his show. It's caller driven. I feel like I'm going to have to get a caller-driven show, Dr. John. I love this. Anyway, listen to the Dr. John Delaney Show wherever you get your podcast, or you can follow the link in the description of this podcast episode. I always make it very, very easy to find my sponsors and people that I partner with. So start downloading and listening today to the Dr. John Delaney podcast. Enjoy. Hero Breads. Oh my gosh. Chef's kiss. Do you love carbs? I'm obsessed. Give me a croissant. Give me a tortilla, baby, every day, slathered with some hummus. Yes, please. And then a lot of veggies, a little turkey burger in it. Okay. That's my own proprietary sandwich. Thanks. Hero Breads right now offering 10% off. Go to hero.co. Enter the promo code TSFS. You are getting 10% off. Now, Hero Bread is so delicious and flavorful, soft, fluffy. In fact, so fluffy that KJ loves it, slathered with butter and cinnamon every day. They're known for their products to have 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, zero sugar, and high in fiber. So what are you waiting for? Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code TSFS at checkout. That's TSFS at HERO.CO. 10 years ago, I lost 60 pounds mindful eating, and today I have kept the weight off. I never think about food. I never count calories. Honey, I don't even use one of those darn trackers or apps. I live with food freedom, and I want that for you if you are ready and you want it. And that's where My Optimal Body comes into play. Visit MyOptimalBody.com to request an appointment, and be sure to let them know that the Sarah Fraser Show sent you so you can qualify for a free personalized assessment, plus a bonus free 30-day supply of their gut repair product when you sign up for a customized plan. That is myoptimalbody.com to request an appointment. Why I wanted to partner with Dr. Applin is because he is a doctor that gets to the cellular and gut reason of why you can't lose weight and keep it off. They also work with your mental capacity as well. So many of us are emotional eaters. They address that, and their clients see long-term success. If you are ready to lose weight, keep it off, and you don't want to do crazy Ozempic, myoptimalbody.com. And tell them the Sarah Fraser Show sent you. Want your life back? Order Hungry Root. It's actually as simple as that. Truly, Hungry Root is the best meal kit service I have ever worked with because they have meals that take 12 minutes. Guys, if you are a busy mom like I am, KJ now just started swim lessons. And on the night that he has swim lessons, we're not home until 6. I'm trying to make dinner, trying to get him rested and down for bedtime. When I see that number 12, and I know in 12 minutes I can have a healthy meal, I'm turned on. All right. You will be too. Hungry Root's website, so easy to use as well. You just go, you can type in a type of cuisine, or if you like chicken, or you can do preset where you tell them you're vegetarian, keto, or you're a meat lover. Right now, get 40% off. My listeners are getting 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/TSFS and get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/TSFS. Don't forget to use my link so they know who sent you and get 40% off right now and free veggies for life.
You would usually supplement for digestive enzymes. Wow. Yes. Now, this kind of ties into the gut microbiome. The more diversity we have in the gut microbiome, the more that the bacteria are able to do the job for us. But that doesn't change that we have a decline in those digestive enzymes. So it is one thing that I typically recommend people supplement for long term.
Wow. Everybody's body is different, but is there an overall, if you could wave a magic wand, what's a typical diet that women should be eating every day? Like, what you advise your patients, like you wake up, like what are you supposed to do? Can you give us kind of a example of a day?
Well, the foundation would be hydration and fiber. That would be the foundation for everything. I did a short training. I think it's like a 5-10 minute video I made. It's how to lose your first 5 to 10 pounds in 1 week without dieting. And all it is drink more water, eat more fiber. That's it. Even if you change nothing else about what you were doing, you would likely lose some weight. Most Americans are chronically dehydrated. And if put it in context, I mean, our body's 70% water. Our body cannot function if it's not properly hydrated. The standard is about half your body weight in ounces per day. So to put that in perspective, a 200-pound person should be drinking approximately 100 ounces of water every single day. Most people aren't drinking anything near that.
I bet, myself included. Probably.
With fiber, you know, I think 100 years ago, people were averaging about 100 grams of fiber per day. Today, most people aren't even getting like 15 to 20 grams of fiber per day. So for the average adult woman, they should be eating about 25 grams of fiber. The average adult man, about 35 grams of fiber per day. So that is absolutely the baseline, the first thing I would have people focus on. The second thing I would have them focus on is getting enough protein in their diet.
Yeah, that's
that's one. Protein is not in processed foods.
And that's one I fought for a long time. I was like, you never see anybody that's protein deficient. You know, I said this to my cousin that's an NP, and she's like, no, you actually do. It's not as common, but there are health ramifications for not having enough protein. So I actually started incorporating more, you know, eggs, beans, legumes, some other organic meat. I do enjoy chicken. So, you know, but talk to us about that. Are people protein deficient, and what does it do for you?
For sure, people are not getting enough proteins in their diet. Wow. And you see this especially with vegetarians and vegans. It is very, very challenging getting enough protein in the diet if you're vegetarian and vegan without, I mean, now they have these, you know, what is it? Like the Beyond Meat, these like kind of faux meat type things. Those are ultra processed too. They come with a ton of additives, a bunch of things that aren't really healthy for you. You know, when we're eating adequate protein, our body functions better. We need the amino acids from protein to preserve our muscle mass, and our muscle mass is the foundation of healthy metabolism. Most people aren't getting anywhere near enough protein in their diet, and it's so easy and good. Like protein for most people tastes great. There's a lot of really great healthy protein sources, but what makes us feel satiated? What reduces our hunger the best? It's protein and fats. And so if people are eating more protein and they're eating more fats and they're eating more fiber, they're not going to be as hungry. Those cravings are going to start to subside. Weight's going to naturally start to come off.
I want people to come see you because one of the things that I enjoyed so much about you when I met you is you really create a program where you want people to maintain a weight loss without you too, which to me was one of the most empowering things when I went to my mindful eating therapist years ago who works very similar to what you do, which she was like, you're not going to need me forever. And I was like, that's so liberating. To me, I find a thing where like you have to do Atkins diet forever or you're going to have to be on Ozempic. I find that to be very overwhelming. It's almost like I can't breathe because it's like, who can do that? To me, that takes the joy out of life. So this is what I love so much about you, Dr. Applin. I feel like people need to see you because I love that the fact that you even say that to begin with is so, I think, liberating for people. Can you walk us through when we become a patient? How long do people usually stay with your program? You are more affordable, I can tell everybody this for a fact, than doing Ozempic, 100%. I mean, your programs are very affordable. For a couple $100 a week, people can start. Walk us through like what it looks like to become your patient.
Well, the first thing is just doing a proper assessment because everybody's going to come in with different needs. A 30-year-old has different needs than a 65-year-old. Right. A 30-year-old, they're kind of in a place where their metabolism hasn't been beat up as much. Their body chemistry is totally different when you're in your 20s versus when you're in your 50s, for example. So that's where it all starts, doing a proper assessment, figuring out what exactly the right approach is going to be. To your point earlier, I tell everyone my most important job is to coach people out of needing us. So
I love that.
We take the first 30 days typically, and we just put 100% of our focus on repairing metabolism. Because if somebody's not losing weight or they're not able to keep weight off, that means the nutrient foundation that we need is absent. So we'll spend the first 30 days really just hyper-focused on that, because we want people to be able to lose more weight in less time without having to put in as much effort into it. But we have to get the body to a natural, normal, healthy baseline in terms of metabolism first. Everything else we do is designed around real food that people can get at any grocery store. So they get assigned a personal coach. They work one-on-one with them every step of the way. They meet with them every single week to implement our protocols, but they also customize it to them, because we can start with a foundation, right? We kind of start with like best practices. These are things we know generally for most people are going to push us in the right direction, but everyone has different tastes, different preferences, different lifestyle, a different schedule. I mean, we work with people who are retired. We work with people who are airline stewardesses and truck drivers and everything in between. You know, the weekend warriors, people who work in an office all day. So we have to develop something that not just works for them in terms of a diet perspective, but something that works for them in the context of their schedule and the context of their life. Because at the end of the day, I want to be able to create a customized blueprint, something where they can lose weight without feeling like they're dieting.
Yes.
Without feeling like they're overly restricted.
Yeah.
Without ever having to count calories.
Oh.
Without having to worry about going to the gym if they don't want to. Focusing on things, again, on this foundational level, completely natural, so that we have the right foundation, so that once they lose the weight, they are able to keep it off after.
Are you getting people that tried Ozempic and, you know,
tons. This year, especially, this has been kind of like the peak year. This year, everyone is either at that point where they're coming in saying, I tried Ozempic and I felt like crap. I couldn't keep taking it. I'm not going to do it. I tried Ozempic and they kept having to up my dosage because it wasn't working anymore. I tried Ozempic and I lost X amount of weight, but it stopped working and I'm not willing to take it the rest of my life. Or I tried Ozempic and it didn't work at all for me. I wasted a ton of money and now I really think I need something natural.
Wow. I also, by the way, get a lot of women that reach out to me and they're like, I can't do Ozempic because I want to have another baby. Do you find that people that do your program get themselves back nutrient-wise to be able to get pregnant? I don't know if that's a goal that people come in to see you for, but is that any way correlated?
To the point, yes, in some of our younger clients, that has been a goal. You know, many of our clients are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. So they're at a point where they're either recovering from a recent birth, right? They have some younger kids at home, maybe a few years out, where they were never really able to get rid of the baby weight, or they've had a hysterectomy, they've gone through menopause, they developed health conditions that have really stood in the way of them being able to lose weight effectively. So that's why my philosophy and my approach is, let's take a much more comprehensive approach. Because if people are trying to fix the problem by just fixing one thing and they're not losing weight, it's not that they're doing anything wrong. They're just kind of missing the boat on all these other things that regulate metabolism. So if we can address all those issues, they're going to lose more weight in less time, but we can build the proper foundation for sustainability.
Wow. I am so excited to be partnering with you. I want people to go to your website, myoptimalbody.com. You see patients nationwide, right? I know you're in the Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. Maryland specifically area, but you see patients from California to Maine?
Oh, and some clients who live overseas. So yeah, we work all across the country. We work internationally. You know, doing it in a virtual environment has been such a blessing for both us and our clients, because they don't have to drive to an office every week for check-ins. We can meet them wherever they're at. And if they have a cell phone or they have a computer, we can service them.
MyOptimalBody.com. You have to mention the Sarah Fraser Show sent you, because you get that 30-day gut reset. You get access to Dr. Applin, his amazing wife, who have spent their lives researching and working with patients to lose weight naturally and keep it off forever. I'm so honored. I can't wait for more people to come in and see you, Dr. Applin. Is there any other place you want people to find you, to follow you?
Oh gosh, if you look up myoptimalbody.com, you can pretty much find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. We use that same handle for anything. So yeah, I mean, I have just tons of videos out there, free education for people.
Dr. A, so good to see you. You're going to be back. I love it, love it, love it.